do apologise this morning. I've got, like every, 99% of the population, I've got a bit of a cough. So I've got a rum and, a squash there to drink. Thank you. Did you hear that? No, I didn't. I'm not talking about that squeak, but did you hear what I said before?
Yeah.
That's all. Let's just pray. Lord, we come to hear your word this morning. Just pray that you'll touch each of our hearts in the name of Jesus. Amen. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. The words of John the Baptist. I wonder what the crowds that went to hear him expected from John the Baptist. Were they really ready for John? Did they expect to hear someone who'd tell the truth to them about God and also their own lives? Did they expect to see a man dressed in camel's hair and eating locusts and honey? Did they expect a wild man again who was willing to say whatever it took to save their lives? I wonder. See, John held nothing back. He told them how it was. He even called some of them names. He spoke honest, if not harsh words perhaps, and told the truth, even if it hurt them. For some, it might have come as a bit of a relief perhaps. They could see a way forward. For others, it might have seemed a sort of intrusion, an annoyance, a meddling preacher who needed to mind his own business. So what if I preached like John the Baptist did? What if I spoke the truth like John the Baptist did? What brought you slithering in here today? You reptiles. Why are you here? To get out of the cold, perhaps? To see your friends? To make you feel better? And just how faithful you are? Are you here to give God that wish list that you call prayer? Don't even start telling me how or who you are or how long your family's been in the parish and come to church. I don't care what you've done for this church or how much money you've given. I want to know what you're doing with your lives. Don't give me some polite, banal answer. This is serious, and there are consequences to the way we live and the choices we make. So if you're here to change your ways, to live a different life, to open yourself to God, then show it. Live it. Let it be seen that your choices and the priorities you establish, the actions you take and the words you speak, prove it. If that's not why you're here, clear off. Go on. Crawl back to the hole you came from. What if I preach like John the Baptist? What would you think about that? How would you respond? What would you feel? I suspect there'd be several different responses. Some would sit quietly, nod politely, and let it all go in one ear and out the other. There'd probably be a few meetings outside during the week to discuss what got into him. What are we going to do about it? Ben would probably get a few phone calls. Bishop David might even get a few letters, if he felt like it. See, that kind of preaching isn't what we expect in church, is it? Surely. We don't come to church expecting to be criticised or made to feel uncomfortable. Sometimes it's even too much to be slightly challenged or told we're accountable for ourselves. What if I preached like John the Baptist? Might be the wrong question, actually. The better question is, why don't I preach like John the Baptist? Why don't you demand and expect that of me and every other preacher? I'm sure there are lots of answers to that question. Some of our reasons are quite legitimate. Others are not. See, I wonder if the real reason we don't like that kind of preaching is that we're usually content with life exactly as it is. I don't mean we're content in the sense of everything's perfect, but we don't want anyone messing with our lives. We don't want somebody to say, change. So we show up at church, hoping, wanting, and expecting to receive some affirmation and approval. To be told how much God loves us. Yes, he does. We don't want to be told that we're fine just as we are. Sorry, we want to be told we're fine just as we are. And we shouldn't change a thing. Ben said this morning, God accepts us as we are. Yes, he does. That doesn't mean we haven't got to change. After a while, however, that message of affirmation starts to pall a bit. It starts to wear thin. Deep down, if we're really honest, we know better. We know ourselves. And we know the world we live in. We know the deep wounds that still hurt. We know the relationships that are struggling and broken. We can recall our words and actions that have hurt others. In the wider world, we see hunger. We see poverty. We see injustice. What do? We offer explanations, excuses, and blame others rather than give our time, our money, and our efforts to relieve it. See, we don't need that kind of affirmation. I think I've gone somewhere. My batteries have run out. They're always doing that lately. We don't need that kind of affirmation and approval. See, that message of approval and affirmation tends to maintain the status quo. And it's business as usual in church and in the world. It stops us moving forward and leaves us, in a sense, hopeless. We need someone to speak the truth about our life. Back to John the Baptist. We need someone to speak the truth about our life. To wake us up a bit. And to challenge us. We need a truth that says life doesn't have to stay as it was. A truth that offers us hope and a way forward. See, we need to be reminded that we can and should change. To be told that God accepts us as we are does not mean we don't need to change. See, John the Baptist's words disturbed the people of his time. And it should disturb us as well. Self-satisfaction can blind us to the life that God wants us to have. It distracts us from that which is most important. It deceives us in a way into believing that there's nothing we can do about poverty and injustice. So the real issue for most of us is not that we're bad people, just that we are too content with our lives. That's why at the beginning of a church year, a church new year, Advent, we hear about John the Baptist. We see him before we see Jesus. We hear John's words before we hear the words of Jesus. See, John is the gateway to Christmas. We can't go round him. We can't get past him. We have to face up to him, to ourselves, and to then the one who is coming, Jesus. This facing up to that is the heart of John's message. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. A warning though, be careful. Far too often we've been told or led to believe that we must repent, meaning that we must change in order for the kingdom of God to come. Some people tell us when everything is perfect, when we're all doing things right, the kingdom of heaven will come. After all, it's just not true. It's the exact opposite. What did John say? Repent, for the kingdom of God, or kingdom of heaven, has come near. It's already come near. Repentance is not what makes the kingdom arrive. Repentance, turning back, changing our lives, is our response to the coming of the kingdom. Through repentance, we turn to Jesus. We say yes to the coming of the one who's more powerful than us. That means we change the direction and the purpose of our life to share in the kingdom of heaven and the life of Christ. The good news is that John the Baptist's message is that the kingdom of heaven is near or here. If you're waiting until you die before you get to the kingdom of heaven, you've probably missed the boat a bit. Let's not let that happen. Repent. Turn around. Look again. The kingdom is right here. So what if I preach like John the Baptist? What if you expected and demanded that every preacher preach that way? I wonder, would you be asking for that? Or would you be one of the first to complain that your comfortable life was being disturbed? Amen.